It's good to see everyone today. It's good to be with you. Hope that you can be back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. You know, the last 2 weeks, we've studied about the subject of sin 2 weeks ago. And, you know, when you study about sin, you have to study about where it leads, and you have to study about what comes from that. And so invariably when you study about sin, sometimes you study about things that aren't so positive. We have to talk about the realities of what sin does and where it leads. Which then leads you to last week where we studied about wrath. And we spent some time on wrath from our perspective, but we also spent some time on wrath from God's perspective. And we know that sin actually brings on God's wrath. You know, when you think about that, you know, when you think about sin bringing on wrath, it's not an angry wrath from God. When we think of wrath, as we talked last week, we think about anger. We think about an emotion that we have difficulty controlling. But when it comes to God's wrath that sin brings about, it's not an angry wrath, but it's a just wrath. It's a wrath that is poured out to render justice. And that judgment that will come will be righteous and just. So this morning, as we think about what we studied over the last 2 weeks and then what we will talk about today, I think it's important to make the point that we need not be afraid of God because He is angry and vengeful. I can remember many a sermon when I was a child, and I was scared to death. There were many sermons where the preacher just sounded mad and angry, and that if you didn't do everything God said, that God was going to be mad and angry. At least as a child, that's the way I took it. I probably oversimplified it there. But there are those who believe in God today, but live in terror and fear of God Himself because of the wrath that ultimately He will pour out on those who are caught in sin. Those living in sin, unfortunately, should fear the judgment of God. But not because He's angry, because it will be just. Because it will be righteous. And each will be judged accordingly. There won't be any secrets on the day of judgment. You know, there won't be any surprises. There won't be any shocking details revealed. On the day of judgment, when God pronounces His judgment, it will be just as it should have been. And as each should expect. But why should faithful Christians then, those who give themselves to God, those who want to be faithful to God, why should they not be afraid? Why should they approach God with confidence? Because of the subject that we will cover today. Now, I readily admit today that I don't know the answers to some of life's most difficult questions. And there are some difficult questions that we are forced to deal with from time to time. You know, why do some people prosper while other people fail? Why is one person cured and another person not? You know, why do we have to suffer certain things and see others treated unfairly, while some who don't care about God seem to get everything and everything always works out? Yeah, I don't know the answers to those questions. I don't. And I know this, perhaps when we think about some of these difficult questions, and I know some people's faith begins to kind of waver when they think about these things, perhaps when we think about these, we're asking the wrong questions. Perhaps we're looking at it the wrong way. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. As we think about the story of Joseph today, you think about someone whose life seemed to be one accident after the other, one problem after the other. Joseph was the favored son. His brothers despised him. His father gave him a special coat. Joseph told his brothers of a dream where they would all bow down to him, ultimately leading them to decide, we're ready to be done with him. Ultimately, some wanted to see Joseph dead, but they decided to sell him into slavery. So here's Joseph, preferred son of a good family, what appeared to be. And now he finds himself a slave, sold into slavery. Chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, verse 2 says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master." Joseph is bought by Potiphar. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard, was a prominent person in Egypt. Joseph is purchased by him. And God blesses Joseph even as a slave, sold into slavery. Joseph rises. He rises to the point that Potiphar hands him his house and says, "Here it is. I'm going to let you take care of it." He withholds nothing from him. And then Potiphar's wife pulls a scheme that doesn't work out and accuses Joseph of something he did not do. And so now Joseph finds himself in prison. Verse 19. "As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, 'This is the way your servant treated me,' his anger was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison." At this point, could Joseph have not just simply said, "Why in the world? What did I ever do to deserve this?" Everything seemed like it didn't work out for him. He would be doing well, and that would be taken away. He would do well again, and that was taken away. He kept seeming to fail. But there was something with Joseph. Verse 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Something I want you to see there in verse 21. God was with him and he had his favor upon him. It's another way of saying grace. God's grace was with Joseph. Now we know the story in and of itself will work out. We know how the story ends, that Joseph rises to prominence. He goes from this prison to being number two in Egypt. He saves his people. He saves his family. God brought life through Joseph. How easy would it have been for Joseph to simply give up? To simply just quit. To not care about doing what was right. To not care about living a life that brought attention to him because he lived upright. It would have been very easy for him to just curse God and wallow in his own misery. But he didn't do that. God was with him. God blessed him. Joseph found the good in his circumstances. God blessed him in his circumstances. Regardless of what those circumstances were, God's favor was upon Joseph. God's favor can be on us today. You know, God's grace was with him, and he prospered him no matter the circumstance. Sometimes we are more wrapped up into the circumstance than we are what God can do with the circumstance or what God can do with us. Sometimes we see only what is happening and not what can happen or what God can do. God may not intervene the same way in our lives, but be assured his grace and favor are here. Now, it's easy to look at the story of Joseph and see what God did and understand how God intervened, because he did. God's favor was upon Joseph. He blessed Joseph. Joseph rose to prominence because God had a plan for him to save life and to preserve life and to take care of his family. You know, God may not work that quickly in our lives. May not work out exactly the same way. But understand, no matter what circumstance we are in today, if we are a Christian, if we give ourselves to God, we are in a favored position. God's grace is here. God's grace is on us. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. We get a picture of what God has done and how his grace impacts our life. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's think for a minute about the words of Paul to the church in Rome. God's favor has been shown to us and is here for us today through Jesus, his Son. Christ's death brings favor to us. Christ's death brings life. God's favor brings life again, just as it did with Joseph and his family. God's favor was his Son. And that Son shows us love. What does that grace bring? What does that favor show us? Verse 8, it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No matter what circumstance, God's grace is available. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent Christ to die for those who needed him most, but who were living in opposition to him. God sent Jesus to die on the cross, even for those who stood at the foot of that cross and cheered for him to die. God's grace was being extended. God's love was being shown. God's favor. God also shows us through his grace. Verse 9 says, we're justified. Brings justification. It brings us to God just as if we had never sinned. That's what Jesus' blood, that's what the grace of Jesus' blood does for us. It brings us to God as if we were complete, as if we were perfect. Because He justifies us. And then it brings us reconciliation. Verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. He puts it back together. He reconciled it. What was separate has now been brought together. When we studied about sin, we studied the fact that sin separates us from God. Well, what does Jesus do? What does the grace of God through the blood of His Son Jesus do? It takes the separation and it brings it back together. It unites us. God may not make everything in our life work out exactly as we would like. But God's grace is here. God's favor is here to be poured out on us just as much as His wrath will be poured out on those who reject Him. He loves us. He justifies us. He reconciles us. Another way we can put it is that His grace is ever-reaching. It reaches everyone. No matter what circumstance we're in, no matter our status with God, understand, God's grace is available. It's available today. It's available for each of us. God's grace is here. And it's what helps us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says something similar to Paul in that he says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and being made alive in the Spirit." He can bring us to God. His grace is offered. His grace is our atoning sacrifice. He took our place. He became our sin so that we would have no need to be afraid on the day of judgment or be afraid of God, because if we give ourselves to Him, He became our sacrifice. He became our salvation. He reconciled us. He justified us. God's grace is available. It reaches us no matter where we are. And understand, it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what we are doing today. If we give ourselves to God, His grace reaches us. There are those, unfortunately, who have doubted the power of the grace of God, who have sold short God's ability to forgive, who've sold short God's ability to justify and to reconcile, and to love them. Therefore, they think God's grace is not for them. And they've turned away from God. Unfortunately, they couldn't be further from the truth. The only way we can fall outside of the favor of God, the only way we can turn from His grace, is if we completely turn from Him. So our message to the world is simple. God's grace reaches you. God's grace can reach you no matter where you are. If you understand what He's done, His grace can reach you. And you can have the favor and the grace of God. And have no reason to fear, but with confidence approach the throne of God and be prepared for judgment. When we think of grace, we often think of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We cannot do anything today to deserve the death of Jesus on the cross. There's just nothing we can do. We could spend several lifetimes doing charitable works, trying to do good things, and we would never deserve the death of Jesus. There's just nothing we could ever do to deserve the grace of God. But you know what? We don't have to do those things. He never asked us to do those things because He loves us and He gave it as a gift to us. That's the amazing thing about God's grace. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't expect us to always do what's right because He knows we're going to make mistakes. What do you think grace is for? It's to cover up for those mistakes. We have the favor of God today. And it doesn't matter what circumstance we are in. Our life may not have played out the way we wanted everything to, but in the end, we can be successful because of God's grace. And His grace reaches us. If we understand sin, if we understand the wrath of God, we can't help but be thrilled and amazed at the ever-reaching grace of God today. This message is for everyone, everywhere. It's for me and for you. God's grace is ever-reaching. It reaches all of us through Jesus. It can be hard to see God and His plan sometimes, because we live in a world that doubts everything. We live in a world that fusses and argues about everything. We live in a world that's just not at peace and just not in harmony. And so it can be hard sometimes to see God's plan. And sometimes our own circumstances, past or present, prevent us from seeing just how much God loves us, just how much God wants to justify us and reconcile us back to Him. We miss the grace of God sometimes because we only look at the circumstance. God doesn't look at the circumstance. God looks at us. He's looking to us. And His grace reaches us. God's wrath, yes, will be poured out on sinners, but His grace reaches the faithful Christians. We must look for opportunities to serve and to praise and to please God, regardless of our circumstances, and understand that His grace is available. It's amazing. It's ever-reaching. And the most important thing for us to know today is it's available. It's available. The gift that God wants to give is available. The question for each of us is, are we ready to receive it? Are we ready? Are we anxious? Are we looking forward to the day that we can stand before Him and have His grace fully given to us as we go to heaven? And hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We can be that. We don't have to be perfect to be that. Why? Because God makes us perfect with His grace. If you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Christ, we want to encourage you to do that. Have His grace extended towards us. If you heard the message, believe it, repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God. Be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away, having God's love, His justification, and His reconciliation wash over us, and make us clean and whole, complete in His sight. Maybe here this morning in circumstances, past or present, or things just haven't worked out, or there's some doubt. Don't doubt what God can do. The same God that can take a servant, a slave, and save life through him, can take our lives, regardless of where they are, and make them what he wants them to be. We may not see worldly success, but if we can, on the day of judgment, lift up our head and see him and know that his grace is upon us, then we are the most successful person that we could ever be. If you've turned away from that, or if you doubt that, or if you want the prayers of the church today, we're here to pray with you and for you. If you have a need today, won't you come as we stand and sing?